Welcome in, kia ora, to another episode of the Podfathers, a Slam Diego Padres podcast. See what I did there with that Reds game today. Recording on a Wednesday night here with a little bit of a rain delay, so your Padres might get a quick dub after five innings tonight. But anyways, as usual, on the mic, we got Los and Walls. Los, how's your week been?
What is up, people? Episode 23, the Fernando Tatis Jr. episode of the second season of the Podfathers. Week's been good. It's flown by. Can't believe it's Wednesday already. And I am an absolute weekend warrior, looking forward to this long weekend we've got coming up to celebrate this amazing country that we live in. How are you doing, my good friend Walls?
Doing good. I love a three-day weekend, and I also love the 4 days right after that. It's a win-win situation that never gets better. Started way back in elementary school when we couldn't even conceptualize how amazing that was. And here we are many years later, just enjoying the process, but doing good. Just, again, working on the house some more. Been going to be a little bit of a long process. Probably have a couple more weeks at least till we get most things situated and whatnot, but the place is looking solid. The Podfather studio is coming along. Just installed the fan so we don't overheat over there in borderline East County. I'm actually going to go back and say it's not East County at all.
It's East County,
I'm like,
bro.
Barely.
East County, it's actually walls.
It's technically San Diego, the address. It's not even RB or Poway. So,
dude, as an East County guy, maybe you can answer my question. We had an off day yesterday, so I threw a little poll on the Twitter feed. I had a discussion with one of my buddies, and we were trying to decide what's the trashiest thing you can have on a truck. The three options were crazy unnecessary lift, truck nuts, or just like one of those dumb stickers of the little kid pissing on like the Chevy logo or like a Salt Life. You know, something like that. What are your thoughts on that?
As a fellow North Countyan, I don't know if I'm qualified. No. I was torn between pretty much, well, first of all three, but then I narrowed it down to the sticker one and the lift. And then our boy up in Idaho, he was saying that he has a sticker where he's actually pissing on Dean Spanos, which I gave the okay for. So I think I'm going to have to go with the truck lift. And someone on our feed posted that awesome picture of the super low. It was like a low lift with like ridiculously wide tires. It was it was probably $100,000 truck and it looked so obnoxious, but I gotta go with the lift, especially when it's like not even a truck, but it's like an expedition. That's just like I saw one the other day that was probably had no joke, probably about a 5 foot lift on it. And like, you could just see the frame of the car floating, you know, like with Gravedigger underneath of it. So I gotta go with the lift there.
There it is. Our East County correspondent deciding it for us that the lift is the correct choice. Personally, I think I agree. I've always seen a lift and thought it was just a total douche thing to do. But that being said, truck nuts ended up winning. I'm a huge truck nuts guy. I think they're absolutely hilarious, dude. Every time I see those things flopping on the back of a truck, I lose it.
Who would buy that?
I don't know, but it's awesome. And I kind of went down the rabbit hole and there are things called croc nuts. So I'm a Crocs guy. I might need to throw some on my camo Crocs. I think it's only fitting, you know, maybe some brown and yellow ones for the pods. Ooh. Who knows? But that being said, thank you for deciding for us, Walls. Let's get into some Padres baseball. So as of today, 48-33, possibly 49-33 games delayed as of right now, but three games back of San Francisco. They have an off day. The Dodgers have an off day. So if the game stands, we would gain half a game on those guys. So we would actually be 2.5 back from them and one game back from the Dodgers. That puts us at fifth best record in the MLB as we currently stand with a plus 78 RDIF, good for fifth in the majors. As far as the individual hitting leaders, we'll give you an update here. Tatis, 26 home runs. Tatis, 56 RBIs. Who's next? You guessed it. Tatis with 16 stolen bases. Tatis again with 61 runs. Hits Cronenworth 86. He's been staying hot lately. And then average again, Tatis with a clean 300 average and a 1.092 OPS. As far as pitching leaders go, Yu Darvish took over the ERA lead this week. Musgrove's had a couple of high-ish run outings, and Darvish continues to do Darvish things. So he's at a 2.44. Strikeouts, again, Darvish with 115 on the season, and our save leader, the Shark, Mark Melanson, with 25 saves out of 28 save ops.
That is quite the list right there for Tatis to just continue to be leading week in and week out. And since we're on that topic, to roll it into the All-Star voting update, apparently there is less than 24 hours left on the phase two. So if you guys are listening to this in the morning, vote for Tatis. He is the only player that we can vote for. I wouldn't say unsurprisingly, because the country still kind of doesn't like Padres baseball, but yeah, not surprised that he's the only one in there. They've been doing a good job marketing him, and he's just been clearly doing what he can to make sure that he gets on that ballot. But vote for Tati for sure. The other names that you heard, in at least in the pitching category, Darvish and Melanson, we both fully expect to be elected, I guess, to the All-Star game by the I guess the commissioner's office or whatever, however that goes with the pitchers going in. And the other name that you heard that should have gotten in my opinion, out of anyone else on the team, is Jake the Rake. He's yeah. just been absolutely killing it. We had a little tweet go viral about Gavin Lux being the third guy in there, getting a chance to not only make the All-Star team, but to be voted as a starter. And so the whole process, I love the fact that that the MLB gets the fans involved and so on and so forth. But to see the discrepancy between Jake Cronenworth and Gavin Lux, clearly it is just a popularity contest between how many fans you have across the US and who's willing to vote as well.
Yeah.
So for Cron to miss out, it's a bummer. I would say Machado as well to miss out, it's a bummer. On the bright side, I heard Woods talking about this on the radio. I think it was this morning or maybe yesterday, that he said, you know, he was bummed about it initially, but when you think about it, these guys can kick their feet up, relax, just get ready for the second half of the season. World Series playoff push is way more important than an All-Star game in this point. So I understand that, and I'm going to roll with that mantra. However, I'd still love to see us, you know, nice and represented there at the Summer Classic.
Yeah, it's tough. You said that people aren't on board with Padres baseball. I disagree, but it really just does come down to that it's a popularity contest, and people in bigger markets like LA just have more people to vote. I wouldn't say that Padres fans didn't vote. I know a lot of people voted five times a day, every day that they could. It's just a lot more of a market in LA, and unfortunately, it really does come down to a popularity contest. So did Jake deserve to be there? Absolutely. In my opinion, that's the starting second baseman for the National League. Did Manny deserve to be there? You could definitely make a case for it. There's a lot of good third baseman out there. I think he should have been there, but it's unfortunate. And the point that you made is a great one. I think Manny is at a position where, I mean, he knows he's an all-star. He's been an all-star. Anyone wants to go to the all-star game, but yeah, let's take the couple days off. These guys deserve the rest. We've had probably the toughest schedule in Major League Baseball. It's guys more like Cronenworth that it's a little bit more unfortunate for. He's 27 years old. He's grinded his butt off to get here.
On a rookie contract.
He got snubbed from the rookie of the year last year, and now he got snubbed from being an all-star, and it would have been his first one. He deserved it, and it would have been a really cool experience for him. But unfortunately, this is where we are. Tatis will be the starter. I'm speaking it into existence. I believe it's going to happen. And like you said, we at least should have Darvish in there, and definitely Melanson as well, in my opinion. But there's a couple other good closers out there, like, what's his name? I'm blanking. Cubs closer.
Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah, Kimbrell's had a great year. Had a great
season.
Exactly. So Melanson's not a shoe-in, but he should be in there. At a minimum, we'll have two, and I'm happy about that. But it is unfortunate that at least Jake couldn't get into the next round.
Yeah, definitely agree with that for sure. Yeah, and I didn't mean it in the sense that people don't like Padres baseball, but yeah, just the popularity contest. Dodgers, there's so many bandwagon fans. You have Yankees. You know who shows up quite well too that I've noticed year after year is Reds and Braves for whatever reason. They just must do a great job marketing that each year. So bit of a bummer there, but hey, give it a couple more years and I guarantee you we're going to have a few guys if this team continues to continue on this trajectory.
Absolutely, man. And moving on, Home Run Derby, some news over the last week that Tatis will not be participating. I believe Vladdy isn't as well. Did that go into it? Who knows? Those guys are boys. Unfortunate for the game of baseball, but I'm pretty happy to see it. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for him to do that. I would rather him not get all those reps, not get that post-derby slump that we've seen so often. And, I mean, just protect that shoulder. We don't want him to exert himself like that. And he's going to be in the All-Star game. So he's going to be busy, plenty of busy. All-Star game's enough. I'm happy that he's not playing. It would have been really cool to see him in there with Otani and Vladdy if he was in there. But those guys aren't in there now. I know Trevor Story's in there. I think it's not going to be as exciting. Maybe? Who
is it Acuna partaking? I feel like
I think so. It's still going to be fun, but ultimately it's what's best for the team. And I'm glad that he made that decision. It's a pretty mature decision of his to make.
It is. He is making so many mature decisions for a 22-year-old. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's helps that he has his dad as his, you know, father figure and the guy that's just walking him through each step of the way. But to make these types of decisions, there's so many kids that were 22 that would be like, dude, Home Run Derby contest at Coors, like sign me up. But could you imagine if he like popped his shoulder out trying to, you know, hit a home run in the Home Run Derby? That would just not be a good look at all. So like you said, still going to be a really exciting one. We'll still get to see him as a starter. Like you said, going to be the first since Tony in 99, 98, something like that. So it's been quite the drought for the Padres. But, you know, is what it is. Again, like you said, we'll see him in plenty to come. I know he let it slip on that interview a few weeks back where he said that he was going to partake in it. At least it sounded like it on that interview. And so I think if he hadn't had popped it out on that slide the other day, diving into short left field, then who knows, he might've been partaking. But like you said, I'm excited to watch Shohei out there. Like you said, I think Trey Mancini is potentially going to be joining too. And what an unbelievable story that is. The guy on the Orioles there recovering from cancer and coming back this year, having an unbelievable season too for the Orioles, which is really cool. So still going to be some good fireworks there. And like I said, at Coors Field, probably going to be record home runs in this Home Run Derby. But just looking forward to seeing Fernando Tatis Sr. throw to Tatis Jr. one of these days. Just unfortunately not in the 2021 season. But speaking of hitting balls into the outfield, little update from yesterday. Tommy Pham has been taking too much crap all season, both on social media and in person. I've seen on Twitter a few times that Tommy has been getting stick from even Padres fans at Petco Park, and which we will not stand for, that's for sure. But in this instance, he was getting some trash talking in Cincinnati last night, got into it with a couple of the fans in the seventh, saw that one of the guys that supposedly was talking a bunch of crap tweeted and he said, you know, I'm from Ohio, come Vegas. At me, blah, blah, blah. The fan. Okay. Tommy's from Vegas. And then apparently he deleted his tweet. So just all talk. If that guy saw Tommy in a back alley, you could envision how exactly that might go. And Tommy he's all business and his interviews portray that. But in his interview yesterday after the game, he was not backing down at all. He's like, yo, I box, I do Muay Thai. you know, do all this other stuff. Like, I'm a fighter. Like, if these guys want to come at me, then come at me. That is assault in Nevada. If you're swearing at me, so come at me, I dare you. And, so I wouldn't be surprised if, something boils over, you know, not necessarily with a fan, but if there's a case in the field with, you know, if there's a benches clearing brawl or something like that, I'm sure he'll be at the forefront of that. But he's a dog, man, and he has proven how tough of a dude he is. He is instrumental to this team's success. As you can see, he gets on base pretty much every at bat now that he's healing. And like you said, in a month's time, apparently that power is going to be back after his stabbing this past offseason. So dude's an absolute dog. Love to see that he's succeeding now, and just got to keep pushing. He's a heartbeat of this team right now.
Yeah, he's not the dude you want to mess with. And no. He is just – the sound bites he gives are hilarious, man.
They're how awesome.
He
said
he does all that stuff that you don't want to mess with them. He won his lawsuit with Pacers in this past week, and the quotes are just comedy. He goes, "I beat them. They ended up choosing to settle with me for the max. They got crushed. All of the evidence was there. They had an ante up." And then he goes on to say, "I don't know what I could have done different. The video shows more than one guy showed up at my car. I chose to defend myself. I guess I could have run, but I don't fear any man like that." And then he goes, "It was good money, but not like baseball money. Now, if the stabbing would have hit an organ, then it would have been baseball money. Then again, I may never have played baseball again." Guy's an absolute beast. He said he isn't hitting home runs. He's started to now. And I mean, he's still squatting 100 pounds less than he did when he was fully healthy. So the power is coming back. He mentioned in a month, the power is going to be there, like you said. And that's scary because he is absolutely heating up. And on the trash talking, it's a tough one for me because I love the trash talking at the ballpark, but there's definitely a fine line. Like, don't say anything you wouldn't say to them in their face. Like, people get really confident with a fence between them, and definitely not the cussing. It's all the witty stuff is the best. Like, give me the witty stuff. Give me the banter between the fans. But
now you make it personal, start swearing at the guy. Like, you've crossed the line right there.
Yeah. It's all love at the end of the day. And just keep it fun. Keep it witty. That's like how it should be.
Example, yesterday, Dodger fans made poor Brandon Crawford's little daughter cry. That is crossing the line. Yeah. We don't need, as fans, you don't need to go that far. We get it. It's a rivalry. Don't be taking it that far. And good for Tommy to stand up for himself, because a lot of guys would have just, you know, turned a blind eye to that.
Yeah, don't do that. But that being said, let's get into a little recap over the week. Great baseball being played by the boys. Finished off. So our last pod was Wednesday. We had the D-backs after that, off day last Thursday, and then the game Friday, 11-5 victory. And it was a hell of a game. Had the chance to go, didn't end up going. And I immediately regretted it in the first inning. They go back to back, Pham and Tatis. And then in the next inning, Crone hits a home run. Tatis had three home runs for the game, which was nuts. Ends up going 4-for-5 with three home runs and an RBI. It was an absolute show. It was right after Tatis said he wasn't doing the Derby, so he put one on for the crowd back home in San Diego. Overshadowed by all the fireworks, though, was Paddock's outing. Only went two and a third, gave up 5 runs, and then the bullpen took over from there. And they shut the door with 11 runs.
Per usual.
You really don't need to do a whole lot, but our bullpen's been stellar. So 11-5 victory was a big one.
Yeah, and just looking at Tatis's at-bats after that, because he had 3 home runs through 4 innings. So he clearly had a chance to get 4. Last one to have a 3 home run game was Trent Grisham last year. And then before that, if I'm not mistaken, it was Christian Villanueva, actually, third baseman, against the Dodgers in Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. But on that fourth hit that he got, that single, I think the exit velo was like 103 as well. So if he had some launch angle behind that, there's a good chance that one was going out. So, I mean, every night when you think you've seen it all from Bebo, you get something else. And like you said, just announced he wasn't going to partake in the Home Run Derby, goes ahead and hits three. He's like, if I really wanted to and I entered, I could win this thing. But, you know, I'm just going to hit him in a game which actually matters. So, you know, might as well leave it at that. But next game, game two, not too good. 10-1 loss. I watched pretty much the entire game. Lamet, man, we've been saying it's been coming. It seemed like it was just a ticking time bomb, and there it is. 2 1/3, 6 hits, 4 earned. Fastball velo dropped a lot. Removed from the game, placed on the IL with forearm inflammation. You don't see that too often. Clearly, like we've been saying, there's something torn in there, and I think he's just trying to put it off. This might be time to go for it and just get it done. But, you know, I don't know. It's up to him, obviously, since if it was up to the Padres, I think they would have got it done when Clev got it done. But, you know, we are where we are now. He's at least contributed to quite a bit of success here in 2021, but not looking very promising. I don't have high hopes. We haven't since spring training, but, you know, just hope for a speedy recovery from him. But like I said, no high hopes there really.
Yeah, it was an ugly game. I didn't watch it. I was going to watch it, and then it was off to a rocky start early. And yeah, not much to be said there. Lamet, hopefully, I mean, they just need to get it done at this point and push for him to come back next season, because this is, they're just prolonging the inevitable at this point. Mm-hmm. Game three, Sunday game, Darvish came out, looked great. 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts. The game was kind of rolling pretty well until Tatis gets a little grounder. Should have ate it. He leads the league in errors, but since the beginning of the season, he's actually played some pretty good defensive ball. Beginning of the season. I mean, he before this error, he's been playing pretty good defense, in my opinion. But this one was a costly one, gave up 2 runs on the play. The D-backs end up going up, but luckily the Pods answer with 3 runs of their own in the 7th, get the lead back, and Melanson gets the save at the end of the game. Huge W. We get the series win. Grisham had probably the best game on the team, 3 for 4 with 3 doubles, and that sealed a 9-1 homestand, which is exactly what the boys needed.
Yeah, we've been on fire at home this year. I think we're the first team to 30 wins in the MLB at home this season. So clearly Fire Faithful doing their part, especially after we were stumbling a little bit there, to have this homestand. It just is setting us in the right direction there.
Even on Sunday, I was at the game and it was packed for a Sunday game, and it was loud in there. It was so cool to see. Fire Faithful, keep it up. It's really providing a lot of energy for the players.
Yeah, totally is. I mean, it's giving them a boost for sure. Immediate one too at that, which is so cool. But yeah, Tatis, I think, only has 2 errors in June. So that's huge improvement. Like you were saying, he's been playing good defense as of late. And like we've said in the past too, if he had my tools, he probably would have about 10 errors, because 7 of those he couldn't get to. So it's just one of those things. And as he gets older, I think, like you said, he's going to eat it more. He's not going to force that throw. He's got a cannon, so he just wants to use it, especially when he messes up. He wants to recover and get that guy out at first, second, wherever it is. But yeah, I think he'll eat it up, not make matters worse in that instance, and then move on from there. But defense definitely getting better. And yeah, Darvish, such a bummer when we kind of unfolded there in the 7th. That was the first thing I thought. It's like, dang, Darvish totally, he deserved that dub with that 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts. You tweeted out too and said that he was absolutely dealing, which he was. Just been the ace that we have absolutely needed. But 2 out of 3 against the Diamondbacks would have been an absolute bummer if we dropped 2 out of 3 to them. With that, they snapped a 24-game road losing streak against us in that second game. So good to get this come-from-behind dub here in Game 3. On to the Reds. Game 1, 6-2 win. Turned into a little bit of a bullpen game. Craig Stammen with his first start in the regular season since 2010 with Ivan Pudge Rodriguez catching him. Good little tidbit there from Jesse Agler, which was pretty cool. I think I read something too that like Fernando Tatis Sr. was part of that game or something like that. I could be completely wrong, so don't quote me on that one. But Snell was scratched before the game with an illness, and he was sent to the IL. So like we said, Craig pitching came in, did a pretty decent job through two. And then Nick Ramirez has done a great job in his last few starts appearances ever since he came up from El Paso again. Really been helping elongate those innings in the middle relief there. Chrismet had a little bit of a rough one, but Padres offense is clicking. It's firing on all cylinders right now. Like I said, 6-2 dub. Unfortunately, 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position and 16 left on base. So not firing on all cylinders on that sense. Firing on the sense that we're getting 6 runs in this game. Was it 4 times that we left the bases loaded, if I'm not mistaken? So Slam Diego was not in effect at all. But hey, a dub is a dub. And per usual, right now with Tommy Pham, he is on fire, on fuego, 3-for-4, 2 RBIs and a home run. Opposite way again. He is just all when Tommy Pham is on, he is going oppo all the time. And he's drawing all those walks per usual as well. So good rough win from the boys. I feel like I don't know. I feel like we could definitely be doing even better offensively. But hey, we'll take it. Like I said, win's a win.
Yeah, win's a win. Not much to add. There was a weird game, but ultimately a win is a win. And today, game 2 of the series, 7-5, probably W, got delayed in the 6th. A lot of rain, a lot of thunder out there in Cincinnati. If it stays like this, they got through 5 innings, so it will be a W. Myers and Toddy with the home run. Grisham with 2 home runs, one being a grand slam that put us up 7-5. Musgrove, not his best outing, 4 innings pitched, 4 hits and 5 earned runs, but we got the lead and hopefully we're going to get the dub.
Yeah. And just a quick correction. Sorry. 5-4 win yesterday, not 6-2. I thought in my head it was a little bit closer than that. Grinded out the 16 left on base. So sorry about that. 5-4 win. And oh.
It's official. Yeah. Padres beat the Reds 7-5. You love to see
Breaking news.
Love to see it. So series win. We got Cincy again tomorrow. Weathers is going to be on the mound versus Castillo.
Pending
the return of our boys. So great win.
Great dub, man. And, you know, Grisham, unsung hero on this team to me. He is for sure the unsung hero. Without him, you could see when he's been injured this year, this team has been scuffling. So we need him to stay healthy. He's been dog.
Yeah, Tatis is the spark plug. Manny is the heart and the leader. And Grisham is just the unsung hero, man. He really is like the second heart, I guess you could say. He really makes such a big difference out there, even when he's not hitting.
It's the 4 valves.
Yeah, it's crazy how much of an impact he has and what a huge pickup that was. My big thing, I've been saying this all season, is we need to get more out of our starting pitching. I mean, if you look back on this week, game 1, Paddock goes 2 innings, bullpen game. Lamet goes 2 innings, bullpen game. Game 3, Darvish goes 6. That's beautiful. Reds first game, Snell gets scratched, sent to the IL, bullpen game. And then today, Musgrove, 4 innings pitched. That's not great, but because it was a shortened game, I guess it saves the bullpen a little, but it's just too much, man. We're not even at the All-Star break, and you can already see some guys showing a little fatigue. Tim Hill hasn't looked himself lately, still pitching good ball. But it's going to catch up to us, and it's something that they need to figure out. Preller is going to make some moves to bolster either the pen at this point with Snell getting scratched, definitely the starting pitching. We can get into some options in the mailbag, but it's just something that's popped out to me. It's something that's been a recurring theme all season, and they really, really, really need to pick these boys up. The off days are helping, but we need to find a way to extend the starts from the starters.
Yeah, good to see Pierce Johnson and Drew Pomeranz coming back on the same day. That was huge. Absolutely huge. And good point from our boy Hill Titties over there saying that it potentially was a little bit of manipulation with getting that extra year of club control with Ryan Weathers. Oddly enough, it's exactly 15 days since he was sent down that he is coming up again tomorrow. So we do get that extra year of club control. Do you think it was to limit his innings at this point, or do you think that it was more the former?
Absolutely not innings. I mean, he pitched, he's pitched full starts like at out in El Paso. So it's not an innings thing. I didn't even know about the club control. That kind of makes sense. So that is a very, very good note. Couple highlights from the week, really just one. I mean, we can talk about three of these guys, but Tommy Pham can't say enough about what he's been doing over the last 30 days. He is slashing a 337 average, 442 on base percentage, 628 slugging, and a 1.07 OPS. He has six home runs in that span, 12 RBIs, 15 walks. It's incredible what he's doing. And I mean, it doesn't seem to be slowing down. So kudos to him. And I mean, it's great to see.
Yeah. I mean, do you see any regression potentially from Tommy? I mean, clearly you can't stay at this clip on, I mean, maybe he can, but there's got to be a little bit of a regression. Do you think maybe that average goes to about maybe 270?
There
and
will
like
be
a 420 OBP, something like that?
There will be. But yeah, the OBP is all I'm really looking for. If they're going to keep him at that leadoff spot, that's what we need. We need him to get on base. And I think he will. He seems pretty locked in now.
Yeah, I was just going to say that too, actually. And just with him being locked in at that leadoff spot, the luxury of moving Trent Grisham to wherever he hit seventh the other day in the lineup. He's hit second. He's hit fifth, third, all over the place. To have the luxury of sliding him all around, just depending on the type of, you know, pitcher that you have, you got a lefty, you got a righty, then that just makes this team so much better, filling that middle of the lineup void there too.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into some mailbag. We got a bunch of questions. We love it. You guys keep sending them in. We will discuss. We're going to start with two that rolled over from last week. So first one, does Melanson make you guys nervous in a close game, or is that just me? That is not just you. He hasn't been as effective lately, but he gets the save, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. That being said, I mean, there's really not many closers that would not make me nervous at the end in a close game, you know, other than maybe Trevor Hoffman or Eric Gagne back in the day when he was just unbelievable with the Dodgers and went like 45 for 45 on save ops. There, it's super rare for a guy to instill that much confidence in you to where it's a three runner less game and you think it's an absolute lock. But Melanson's pretty damn close to that. Just as a Padre fan and always a little bit of doubt in my head, he makes me nervous, but I still have all the faith in the world in him. And again, I think it kind of goes into the whole overworked and bullpen heavy team that we've become this year that makes me a little more nervous because I think they are getting fatigued, but there aren't a lot of closers that wouldn't make me nervous, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you have a three run or less game in the ninth, I think your blood's going to get pumping anyways, like you said. So babyface Stu, good question. He has looked a little shakier lately, I think, to your point, Los, probably a little bit of fatigue there, getting used in a few situations, not recently, but about a month ago, to where we were playing a lot of extra inning games. And I think he wasn't used to that in a sense. No one's used to that, but he was in situations where, you know, it's not the bottom of the ninth with, you know, a two run lead in that sense. It's a tie ball game and you have to hold it, that sort of stuff. So yes, he does make me a little bit nervous, especially as of late. But if this is his little bit of regression and he returns to the form at the beginning of the season, then we should have nothing to worry about. I think naturally we can't not worry when it's in the ninth, like we said, in such a close game. So good to see that he is doing good, and only one blown save that actually is kind of credible, other than that was the one against the Reds where he gave up four runs, the other two being extra inning quote unquote blown saves as well. So at Kyle or Kgolia 13, sorry for the government name right there, Kyle. He had a question roller from last week as well. And I'm going to pair this together with Padre underscore Muerta's question as well. Kyle says, obviously Caratini couldn't make it now voting wise for the All-Star game, but do you think he's earned the number one spot on the Padres? Padre underscore Muerta says Caratini over Nola. I've been a big Nola guy, but Caratini is now my top guy. So starting with Kyle, do I think he's earned the number one spot? Yeah, kind of. I mean, he's stayed healthy the entire year. He's caught in mad innings. I don't know if I would give him the outright number one spot, but I would definitely think it's about a 50-50 right now. Maybe even a 60-40, because if you're going with five starting pitchers and Caratini's catching you for sure, he's catching Musgrove, and he's honestly probably going to catch, you know, a Weathers or something like that too. So I'd probably go with a 50-50. Nola is a still developing catcher at this point of his career. He's very good defensively for how little experience he has there. But when his bat is on as well, he hits like a middle infielder. So I definitely would probably go 50-50 there. And with that being said, I don't want Victor to burn out just like the bullpen potentially can with that fatigue, because like I said, he's been catching some mad innings. So I would go a 50-50 there, but he has for sure gone above and beyond the expectations for pretty much every Padres fan for sure.
Yeah, I agree. You hit it right on the head. He's for sure going to play when Darvish pitches and Musgrove pitches. 50-50 sounds about right. When Nola comes back, if he starts hitting, then it might slide back to Nola. Mm-hmm. But for now, Caratini's earned his spot. He's been clutch when we need him. He's still hitting 220, but that's great for a catcher. Can't ask for more than that.
And clutch hits at that.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think for now it's 50-50. I don't know if that really counts as number one spot, but Caratini has been a huge addition to our team. At Kyle Stelter, more likely to get hot, Haas or Myers? Myers, easy. No backup needed. You guys know how I feel about Haas, and he's not the guy.
Myers is getting hot right now, too. He made a fantastic play in the outfield yesterday. I thought he had 0% chance of getting there on that ball from Castellanos. Just unbelievable play, just showing that he still can flash some leather out there. So my vote would be Myers as well. I'm not as low on Haas as you, nor basically everyone else in this universe is. I still think that he plays a huge part in the dugout. You know, Jake Cronenworth said the other day that if it wasn't for Haas's home run against the Reds, when we came back in the 9th, hit that 2-run bomb to tie it, then this streak wouldn't have started. So with a comment like that, it tells me that he has a lot of respect in the clubhouse still. With that being said, my answer would still be Myers. I think I've noticed that with Will, he's has a little bit more of an upright approach in his swing now. At the beginning of the year, kind of similar to last year when he was having that success. Beginning of the year, he was even leading into June, he was like squatting like crazy. So it's good to see him kind of adjusting his swing. And actually Hosmer, to his credit, has adjusted as well. Hasn't really paid a ton of dividends yet, but he has opened his stance. So hopefully we can get a little bit of a increased launch angle there, because double plays are absolutely brutal lately. So my answer would be Myers, but don't expect Haas to pick it up, because he's going through a tough stretch right now, obviously. Coondog underscore Saint. He's got a few questions here. Sup, right guy? How did you, I'm going to defer this to you, Los. This is our Podfather sources here. How did you know about the Bauer info 2 weeks ago? It was actually, I checked about 4 weeks ago, about a month ago. Would you like to expand on that, Los? Probably not too much, but
So I got a hot tip. One of my buddies had some inside information on the recently uncovered news on Bauer's sexual assault allegation. Had to do a little digging myself and was able to find the warrant at the time. The name matched Bauer's name. The defendants were Bauer's parents and his, mm-hmm. I think, sister. So it all checked out. I'm not a Big J journalist. I also didn't want to get sued out of the ass. And we thought about breaking the news. Yeah, it would have been cool, you know, but wasn't really our thing to tell. It's all alleged also. I mean, the evidence seems damning, but we'll let that all play out. So ultimately, we decided not to say anything. But it came out and it's some pretty wild stuff, but that's kind of all I'll say to that. But yeah, we knew we're kind of insiders, I guess. I don't really know how that works, yeah. But it's like, I thought it got swept under the rug because when I first heard about it, I was told that it was going to break in the next couple of days because the warrant was out a month ago and no news came out. And finally, TMZ got a hold of it and it's one of the biggest stories in all of sports now.
Yeah. I know we would be lying if going to TMZ didn't cross our minds, but ultimately we went against that. We're not too much of a sleazeball there. So yeah. And if you take it for what it's worth, if you don't believe us, don't believe us. But yeah, no, he was Los is on the pulse about a month ago. And like he said too, it was supposed to come out. I think they were playing the Astros at that yeah. point in time. And so it was under, from what we were told, that it was going to happen when he came back into the state. Obviously didn't happen. And now it's been leaked. So yeah, we thought it got swept under the rug, like you said. So absolutely horrible situation if it is true. But that's, yeah, I think that's pretty much all we want to comment on that right now. Doesn't look to be like too good of a guy, but good point there. Right guy. You, definitely no Los, that's for sure. So hence the question there. Next question from him. Giants collapse coming soon. I'll break it up. I'll answer that one because the next question's awesome. You know, the regression of the Giants has been probably one of the bigger talking points around baseball just because of how much they've exceeded expectations. It's been incredible how well they've been playing baseball with the guys that they have, the salaries that they have. Buster Posey's back to being Buster Posey. I think that's a huge part of it. Belton Crawford aren't, you know, old Belton Crawford, but they're doing better than they have in years past. With that being said, they just got swept by the Dodgers. I could see a little bit of regression coming. I think I saw a stat the other day. I think it was about a week ago. And if they went 500 the rest of the year, they'd be like a 93-win team. So even if there is a bit of regression there, they're putting themselves in a good position to be in a playoff berth. So I don't know if you think that they're going to have a little bit of a collapse coming soon.
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, you look at the way their roster is built and it's kind of been everything needs to go right for them to be playing this good and in this position. And it has so far, and they're too old, to sustain this for the rest of the season. I think you're starting to see that, and they're starting to play much better teams. I believe the stat I saw was that they're going to play 30 games against teams above 500 from here until
September.
Like yeah. Same thing with the Dodgers. And we only have, I want to say 19. I think less than 19. I want to say 10 to 15 range. So they're going to have a tough run. And I think they will. I don't know if collapse is the right word, but they're not going to be as good. Next question. Nicest ass on the team. You know, I'm a huge dump truck Dan guy. Technically not on the team right now. He just got TJ, unfortunately. So we won't see him this year. But there's no right answer that is not Manny Machado. The guy's got an absolute U-Haul back there. Absolute dump truck. Yeah, that's all I got to say there.
Yeah, I'd say close 2 and 3, Austin Adams, Trent Grisham. That's probably the amount of, expansion on the best asses on the team that I'll do. So I don't seem a little bit too into them. But yeah, I agree with you, Machado. For sure. Number one. Quitting it there. And last one, who is Coondog underscore Saint and why is he so handsome? I don't know. Got a good name. Ryan's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, I don't know. Just sculpted by the gods, I guess. That's really all I can say there. One of my fellow season ticket holder in my pod.
Talented man. And,
I mean, the heads just turn. It feels like I'm a piece of meat when I'm around him with all the eyes looking around us because of him. So guys, just a stud, you know. But Lauren, BV89, loyal listener, who do you think we send in a trade for outfield support, Gallo in parentheses, or additional arms? Let's talk about Gallo. We've been an anti-Gallo pod. I'm still not completely sold, but I have seen some stats lately that have me thinking that it wouldn't be the worst addition. Yeah, the guy's career batting average isn't amazing, but you got to look past that. You got to look past the strikeouts. Saw this OPS by month in April, 710, in May, 808, and in June, over one. You can't look past that. I mean, that's something you could definitely, that would benefit any team. You look at who we have out there right now, Will Myers on the season. He's got an OPS of, sorry, I thought I had this, 726. Not terrible, but it's not Joey Gallo number, especially the way he's heating up right now. On the year, WAR for Myers, 0.4. Joey Gallo right now is at on the batting side, 2.4. He has a 140 WRC plus on the season, and they project him at a 120 and a 1.9 F WAR for the rest of the season, which would put him at a 4.6 win season. You can't bat an eye at those things. Those are big numbers, and the StatCast stats love them. Average exit velocity, 83rd percentile. Exit velocity, 95th percentile. Barrel percentage, 94. Walk percentage, 99. Chase rate, 88%. Outs above average, 92. Solid defensively. So I don't hate it, but the way he's playing and the way he's heating up, it's going to be a lot that we have to give up for him. And I still can't justify giving up a huge package for Gallo at this point. So I don't know. What do you think? Who do we send in a trade for him?
Yeah, so I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking it's probably going to be an MLB-ready player and two prospects is what I would envision. A couple names on the roster now to go the other way. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that they'd flip Will for him for sure. Right now, I mean, pitching wise, I don't know if there's many guys like on the current roster. Maybe they try to swing Profar back to Texas. I don't know. I don't think so. His contract's kind of big. So I think that they'd go with a borderline pitcher right now, maybe like a Paddock or something like that, which, you know, I don't really see happening either, I guess. So the more I think about it, MLB ready guys, I don't see them moving a ton, maybe a bullpen piece because they've used them a ton. But prospect wise, the few names that pop out to me is Robert Hassel, fourth overall prospect in MLB's top 30 for the Padres. A like for like switch like that. A little risky, obviously, because he's not in the MLB yet, but just like any prospect, a little bit of risk there. Justin Lang, he is drafted just out of high school from last year in the compensatory. Compensatory. There we go. Pick last year out of high school. So I think they have to wait until the end of this month anyways. He has to be on the team for about a year. Same thing that happened to Trey Turner. Another one, Reggie Lawson, fresh off of Tommy John. Really good prospect that they got a few years ago in the third round, I believe. And then the last one that I was looking at was Rice Nair. He's in AA right now, projected to come into the major league level in 2022. He was a 20th round pick actually a few years back. So maybe try to sell high on him because he's been climbing the top 30 prospect from MLB.com. So those are just a few names that I could see them you know, thrown around out there. Obviously, you don't want to dip too much into your prospect pool. But with that being said, AJ has proven time and time again that he knows exactly how to build it up. So I would say those are probably my four guys right there that I would imagine could go the other way. Like we said last week, Mackenzie Gore and Luis Campusano, probably not untouchable anymore with just how bad Mackenzie's been pitching in AAA. And then Luis has been, you know, doing better, but Gore has a blister right now, some blister issues. Luis Campusano, he just got added to the futures game, oddly enough, because he was already in the MLB at the beginning of this year. So maybe trying to increase his trade value there, potentially, I've seen going around on Twitter. And just quickly, CJ Abrams, I believe, is an untouchable, but I saw on Twitter just recently that he sustained a not so good leg injury where he can't put any pressure on it. So speedy recovery to CJ right there. But yeah, I think those are my top four guys. Long story short, that's not so short. Bobby Hassel, Justin Lang, Reggie Lawson, and Rice Nair. So those are probably my four guys prospect wise that would potentially go the other way.
Yeah. I don't think it's worth Gallo, but we'll see.
Yeah.
If there is a Gallo trade, this is from Timmy Two Legs. Does Hosmer go to the bench? I don't know. He should. He probably won't start as much. I wish Gallo batted right-handed so they can kind of platoon out there. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. he's a lefty. So he probably will see the bench a little more. He's seen a little bit of the bench more lately, but not a full-time bench move. Ultimately,
yeah,
we're going to put the best guys out there, I think, is Tingler's mindset. And if Haas keeps doing Haas things, then he won't be seeing as much playing time. But we got to get Gallo first to see that.
Yeah, I think that with Haas, I don't think Tingler was happy about him getting tossed yesterday either, just based off of his post-game comments. Knew that it was a close game and probably wanted him in there. I mean, other, you know, Padre fans might argue against it that the team got better when he got removed, but still, you want to have as many guys on the bench as possible if that game were to go to extra innings. So the two terrible calls in them, by the way, earlier in that, in the top half of that inning, where he got struck out looking and it wasn't even close. But yeah, like you said, Gallo's a lefty, so can't have a natural platoon there. I don't think Haas would go to the bench. I think he would just be on the bench a little bit more. So pretty much exactly what you said right there. And then at Shane Eriks, should Lamet get a second opinion and be shut down for the season? Feel like there might be an underlying issue that will only be re-aggravated by pitching again the season. We kind of touched on this earlier. So yes, I think he should get a like fifth opinion at this point and probably get the TJ. I know that you feel the exact same way. So running a little bit short on time here, so going to move on. At Grisham Fan Club, what starting pitcher do we target at the deadline, Los? I know we've been over this a couple of times too, but any new guys you've been looking at?
I do like Tyler Anderson from the Pirates. I think he would be a good end of the rotation guy. At this point, I think we can't count on Lamet. Snell's a wild card. I think we assume worst case right now. He's pitching good baseball. And the thing with him is he's only twice started 25 games in the season, but he's got a low base salary and his stats are okay. I mean, low 4 ERA right now. He'd be a good back of the rotation guy. And another guy I kind of like is Matthew Boyd of mm-hmm. the Tigers. 3-6 wins and losses don't really matter though. 3-4 ERA. He's having a pretty good year. So I'd like to see someone like that. Not a huge name. I mean, if we go and get Scherzer for a decent haul, or an exchange of a decent haul, I'd be okay with it, obviously, but I don't want to give up too much. And I think we just need to bolster the end of the rotation. So two guys like that is who I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. I think one guy to add to that, I'm going to stay in the division. He's been kind of a Padre killer a little bit, didn't have that good of a start against us a couple of days ago, but Zach Gallen on the Diamondbacks are going to be major sellers. I think he would be a great addition to the back end of this starting rotation. He is only 25 years old. this season, 3.69 ERA, 1.26 WHIP in 39 innings. He had a quick stint on the IL there. And then overall in his career, MLB, in the MLB, 7-11 record in 35 games, 2.97 ERA in 191 innings pitched, 224 strikeouts, and a 1.19 WHIP. So clearly a very underrated pitcher. He played a huge role in their success last year. So I think he would be a fantastic transaction. He would be a very pricey one at that with his age. His contract's pretty friendly right now. And to go in the division, I think that it'd be a pretty penny, but I think he would be a fantastic addition to the Padres.
Agreed. Last one, and on a light note here at Padres West, Padres Obsessed West. Kiss, marry, kill. Jurickson Profar, Eric Hosmer, or Jorge Mateo?
This is my favorite question by far. The creativity is fantastic. Well done, Padres West. Kiss, marry, kill. Ooh, man. None of these guys made the shortlist for best ass. This one's going to be a little tough. So I got to knock off Jorge Mateo just because he's kind of dead to me anyways. He's dead to a lot of people that I don't know how he's still on the squad. So I'm going to kill him off. Kiss and marry. I'm probably going to kiss Jurickson. Got some shiny equipment there. You got good flash. Might play around a little bit though. And then Haas, I'll probably marry him just because, might be a little bit of a trophy husband, I guess, in a sense. He's got some good deep pockets there. So after 10
that's
years.
That's true, man. That's a good point.
Looking pretty good.
Love a good KMK. Killing Mateo. His days are numbered as a Padre. He's not going to be here past the all-star or trade deadline, I guess.
I'd say July.
You gotta marry the swag, bro. I'm going with my boy Jury here, and I guess that leaves Kiss Eric Hosmer, you know. With that being said, we'll go to our shout outs and get out of here. We're gonna start with Grisham Fan Club, aka Padres Resurgence. Mike, he got the two tickets. I sat next to him on Sunday. Great guy. It was a fun game to watch, and I'm glad him and his buddy were able to make it out there. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for that. That was awesome. At J underscore A underscore Salty D's, a Jefuero.
Jefuero.
Appreciate Jefuero. Silent J there. Yeah, sorry. Jefuero.
Great follow. This guy is active on the keyboard.
Very active.
All day, all day long. Fires me up with the tweets. So shout out to him.
Appreciate it.
And then last one, Midget Bubs, aka Erica, another great follow. Thank you all for following and hopefully listening. Thanks to you guys as always.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts, Walsy, before we get off?
I think other than October, July is probably my favorite month for the MLB. And I guess maybe third favorite, because April's awesome. Start of the year, you got opening day and all that. But I'd love a good trade deadline. Let's make some good moves.
Yeah.
Maybe some smart ones, AJ. Maybe not too many because we're doing quite well. But even so, seeing all the moves across the league and whatnot, I love to see that. Love to catch up on that. And the MLB trade deadline is the best in the biz. So looking forward to that. Vote Tatis. He deserves to be the starter, obviously. And hopefully we see a few more boys in the Summer Classic here in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Couldn't agree more. Vote Tati. Go Pods. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Podfathers, a Slam Diego Padres podcast, the People's Podcast. The Podfathers is produced by Los and Walls. Our show is executively produced by Jacob Lamb.
Our theme song is A Bubba by Trilock. To get in touch with the show, follow us on Twitter at Podfathers619 or email us at podfathers@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major audio platforms.
Go Pods!